welcome back. We're back with the Geek Whispers for another week of exciting enterprise IT social media talk. I'm Amy Lewis.
And I'm John Mark Troyer.
And I'm Matthew Brender.
And if I can stumble on through this intro, which I do religiously every week and swear I'll write it down next time, I will. This week, we're going to talk about LinkedIn. And we got kind of excited about this topic, partially because I think several of us have some issues with the platform. I'm curious to see if we all are pro, con, or in between, how we've been using it in our own lives, how we've been using it in our business, and want to sort of pull the veil back and look at LinkedIn as, is it a social platform? There's my first question. What do you guys think? Matt, John, is LinkedIn a social platform?
I think you have to define what we're talking about when we talk about LinkedIn. LinkedIn's okay. About four or five platforms altogether. It is a resume platform. It is a group discussion platform. It is a status update platform like Twitter. And it is a platform for influencers to write essays. So which LinkedIn are you talking about, Amy?
That is an excellent question. And I think a lot of people think of it as, you know, just that flat resume tool. Some people have, I always hear about this mysterious, you know, groups that exist on LinkedIn, and I'm even part of a few, but I don't attend or deal with them at all. What are you thinking of as LinkedIn there, Matt?
Oh, wow. I like the way John made us consume it as individual pieces. You can see this in the smartphone market in particular, that we like these unitask apps that do just one thing. So even Facebook has their status update and kind of social perusing app. And then Messenger is broken out as its own separate thing. And the way John just described breaking up LinkedIn helps me actually digest it. Because if you asked me first, I would have no idea how to classify this. It seems like my resume has exploded into a Rolodex of people with a bunch of endorsements for stuff I'm not necessarily good at anymore flowing in.
Well, Amy, this was your topic, your idea for a topic. Although you asked the opening question guilelessly, I assume you have a little bit of a hidden agenda, because I do get asked dumb questions about LinkedIn, and people approach me with assumptions about LinkedIn all the time. And I think that's part of what we want to tease out here. But Amy, were you as guileless with your opening question as you seemed?
No. I will admit in some ways very openly here that LinkedIn in some ways is the platform I love to hate. So I dismiss LinkedIn as thoroughly as possible for a really long time. And I thought of it as just that flat kind of resume place and, you know, potentially some groups that people didn't actually go to or deal with very often, right? So not a very effective community platform either, because it was trying to be too much for too many. I will say that with their updates, and a lot of people have talked about their broadcast capability, right? Which a lot of people accuse of as being quite spammy, which is true. But unfortunately, until they stop me, and if you leave those alerts turned on, I have found that to be an incredibly useful broadcast platform. Now, saying that, I don't find it overly social, but I have found it very useful. So I gave it a try about 6 months, a year ago. I put all my projects on there. I really tried to make it my living resume. I linked my food blog to it, so that gets updated and pushed out that way. I've actually found with their LinkedIn's spamming capability, for me as a personal user, and even as a business user as well, it is a way to catch some people's attention in a way that a standard email won't work, etc. It's very useful. You can change your job title. Here's a little trick. If you need to get people's attention, just change your job title every once in a while, and everybody will ask you about what you're doing now. So you can always refresh your LinkedIn platform and get some sort of a little, you know, ripple in the pond, if you will. But I will say, I do not think it's a social platform.
I like that it's a living resume. I know that's like the least sexy part of the platform per se, but the fact that I do have a place that I can continually update my skills, make that very public and known, and that honestly, yeah, the Rolodex feature is really handy. I mean, with the number of people we interact with at conferences, Being able to just follow each other on Twitter, heaven forbid, not everyone is on Twitter yet, and I don't want to pull that network necessarily right into Facebook. So having that a bit more suited up personality type of a profile is quite beneficial.
Oh, sure. The resume thing is awesome. In fact, I tweeted out kind of a negative, snarky comment about LinkedIn right before we started here with a question asking people what they thought about it. And I got about half the answers back saying, oh, it got me my last job. It's awesome, which is not the part of LinkedIn I was talking about. I was actually talking about the marketing part. So I think everybody agrees the resume part's awesome. In fact, we're going through an exercise in our company right now trying to get the sales reps, both SEs and the account, you know, business folks up on making sure that they're up on LinkedIn and using LinkedIn. To which I kind of replied, our first step is really just to see if they're on LinkedIn already. And I replied, well, if they're not on LinkedIn, they should all be fired because it's 2013. And if you're in tech, high tech, and you're not on LinkedIn, you're not doing it right.
I'm going to have to agree with that. So as much as the platform I love to hate, I will say in terms of the living resume and its ability to help me remember what I've done in order, it's a great place to write it down. It's, you know, accessible from my many devices. That's incredibly useful. And I agree with Matt. It's a gateway drug. If people aren't quite on that Facebook list for whatever reason, and a lot of people don't feel comfortable. I'm thinking about one of our favorite guests and one of our favorite podcasts. We talked with Sunshine about rapport. Like my tendency tends to be welcoming people onto my Facebook platform. I use it differently, but I often find the other people, understandably so, aren't in that same place. They aren't in that kind of space. It's not how they use it. And so it's a more comfortable place for them to connect with me.
You're saying LinkedIn is more comfortable. Yeah.
LinkedIn is. And I think that's where it gets when we talk about people love to divide platforms into camps. It's very binary. I've long made the argument that Facebook is a fine place to conduct business, actually, in the same way that people meet each other at soccer games and at their places of worship and everything else. It's business bleeds outside of 9 to 5 and standard business and the office place. But in the flip side, I think people really firmly want to put LinkedIn in that business only, you know, it's not fun kind of place.
Yeah, that's a really good point that it doesn't bleed like, woo, this is exciting. I want to share really fun news with people. I actually think when people sync it up and they're sharing their Twitter feed, it can actually be a little distracting from the content that I'm looking for when I log into LinkedIn, which leads into a totally different question that I'm actually looking for content when I get there sometimes.
Right. No, I would agree with that. And as a research tool, as an organized research tool, in the way that when people are not convinced about Twitter, I often say of that platform, think about it as just a organized lazy web or a simplified search tool, or, you know, it can do to look at it in a different way and not think of it as a social platform. So just to kind of get them onboarded, I think with LinkedIn, again, if you strip that social concept out and you really think, you know, yes, as a person in business in 2013, I do think it's inexcusable that you don't have a LinkedIn account because it's a way for people to look you up. And it is in the same way, I would say, when I was first entering this business and not every business had a website. If you don't have a website in this day and age, I think you're shady. So it's I'm going to go that far. If you're in business and you don't have a presence at all on LinkedIn, you don't seem legitimate. That's my first bit of advice to anybody. Get on, and if you have business cards and you trade business cards, be very disciplined about something. I really like Card Munch. Be disciplined about having some app on your phone that takes those business cards and makes them LinkedIn contacts as quickly and simply as you can, and use the tool that way.
Yeah. I think this is all stuff people know or should know.
True.
What I'm really interested in, Amy, is the question, is LinkedIn Facebook for business? Because that's the question, that's the assumption I get people coming to me with, and I try to kill that quickly and thoroughly, because it's not.
What do you replace it with? What feeling do you want people leaving that conversation feeling, John? Like if I said LinkedIn is the Facebook of business, well, what do you say in response to that?
Well, people are just confused. So this is here's a real story. So a consultant came to us with a big presentation full of charts and graphs and things, and they're talking about a multi-channel, multi-cross silo strategy, which is, you know, appropriate. And they, I swear, like there were six slides on the LinkedIn demographic and about how many people were on LinkedIn and how many, you know, what their titles were and how there were so many VPs and CIOs on LinkedIn and wasn't this wonderful and look at all these people and da 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 da. And the conclusion is, well, this should be one of your major arteries for promoting the crap that you're trying to promote. And which is just, you know, it's a non sequitur because the all those CIOs and VPs are on LinkedIn, sure, because they have resumes on there. But they're not coming to LinkedIn to get the latest updates. They're trying to drive that now, and it's beginning to happen, and maybe it's happening in certain demographics. But it's not, and wishing doesn't make it so. And so just this naive assumption, because Facebook is for people and Twitter scares you, that LinkedIn is going to save your ass when you're trying to promote something online is just, I think, naive and foolish.
I have to agree with you, John. And I think that one of the challenges, it comes back to corporate versus individual. So people think they want scale. They want it to be like the good old days when you could shove everything through a single pipeline, do it once, distribute it, and be done. And it doesn't work that way. So the distribution and the engagement I've found to be at all effective comes through my personal account, not through a brand account and not through some spamification. So I think the idea, like you said, that you're going to be able to go and sort of quote unquote blast out and promote through LinkedIn is misguided.
It's misguided, except two people have told me. One of them being you, Amy, and another being a response to that tweet I just did from Rick Vanover, who I respect, have said that actually, for Rick, he just tweeted me something. He said, for me, it's marginally more effective than Twitter because he uses it through Hootsuite, and it's just another checkbox. So he uses it as a broadcast mechanism, and it works for him. So,
but again, we're individuals, and that's the line in the sand. When a consultant comes forward, you can't do this. This is like a prescribed tweet. There's no way I would have everybody blast out some update through LinkedIn to try to spamify the world through other contacts.
Well, he might be his company. Let me go look. I mean, I don't. Okay, but yeah, keep going.
And for me, I would not want to use a brand handle in that sort of distribution way. Because if you're trying to reach the CIOs, it's back to the idea of high touch. And you just can't reach certain audiences without high touch, and you can't fake it. So if you put in the and I'm just reading another article about, you know, social's not free. So yes, I just said LinkedIn's not a social platform, but in general, online digital, close digital work is not free or easy. And it's difficult to do something like that at scale, I think, effectively. Hmm. So for me, the broadcast platform that's effective is 100% my personal account, and it's for very, very limited, finite things.
We are operating in a different environment than Rick, say, for instance, because I actually just went to Rick's Rick works for Veeam Software, and it's a moderately large startup. It's not a startup. It's a big startup, but much smaller than EMC, Cisco, or VMware. Looks like Rick pushes out content every day, or somebody from Veeam pushes out content every day to their page. And it looks like it does okay. It gets, you know, it gets a fair number of pluses, thumbs up on LinkedIn. So yeah, for a small company with a personality, it's working for them. It wouldn't work for VMware, one, because we spam it with job openings, A. But B, you know, big company doesn't have the personality to do it. But it's working for this small company.
That's interesting. And
that is interesting.
What immediately came to mind is I kind of want to define a social network from a totally different angle. We could talk about platform and whether there's some liking or commenting or sharing functionality. But I'm going to say that a core tenet of what I would consider a social network is whether or not it evens the playing field for an individual and a company. And I think your example with Rick and what it's doing for him and his moderately sized company compared to this big company, like any one of the three of ours, it gives them an equal opportunity, at least on the surface, to just share content and get eyes on it. Yes, there's endorsements. Yes, there's paid services to make it to elevate that status. But the commonality I think of when it comes to Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, which I push content out through Buffer to all three of those quite often, what I find interesting is that I, as an individual, have equal chance in a way of seeing these things, or getting it seen compared to any multi-billion-dollar organization. And I find that to be the thing that I think of first when I think of a social network. Does it flatten the playing field?
So you're saying, yes, LinkedIn is a social network.
Yes, I'm advocating for saying LinkedIn is a social network because it helps flatten the playing field.
Okay. I still hate it.
Yeah, that's totally fine. And I'm not saying this is even a rational conversation.
Hate is strong. I still think people don't understand it.
I would agree with that. And I will, even my next point is, I don't think LinkedIn understands it.
Well, don't you think that this whole content play is an attempt for them to try to be the Facebook for business that we would go to every day to look for stuff?
I think they've tried to put those elements in. But the interesting thing, one of their revenue models is them as big data. And I think they're greatly undervaluing the thing that they do provide, which is really good data. And it's, you know, people put it out there because it's business. They feel safe putting X amount of things out there. So you won't get all the subtleties and nuances you can get from watching somebody on Twitter. But if you add the two or three things up, if you follow people around different platforms, you start to get a really big batch of data. Oh. And there are various engagements, various marketing plays you can run with LinkedIn that really provide you access, honestly, at a very reasonable price to a whole lot of data and a lot of people grouped around a certain area. Now, how long that will last, if people will turn, you know, this off, if they will dismiss, maybe. But you have to say, in terms of the living resume space, there are other ways to do it, but LinkedIn owns it.
Let me put that into a little my experience then. We have had some pretty good results using paid social for LinkedIn. If people don't realize it, think about that. They know your job title. They know that you're a CIO or a VP or a senior manager of IT or whatever the heck you are. And they know what groups you're in because you joined them, LinkedIn groups. And if, per chance, you're actually active in a LinkedIn group, and we should talk about that soon, you know, they will show you very targeted ads. So I can go out and buy access, or at least add access. I'll display somewhere. I don't know exactly where all they display, but just CIOs who are part of cloud computing groups, you know, so it's very targeted. You can't get that on Twitter.
Yeah, they slice and dice the data better, which brings to something I'm pretty enthralled by from the analytical angle, that they give individuals greater insight into their impact than any of the other social networks that we've been talking about. I'm just playing around. If you log in and go to your profile and scroll down a little bit, you might not notice it at first, but on the side, it shows you your LinkedIn network, how many connections you have, but also how many people are within your network, quote unquote, how many new people since some certain date. And then from my updates, it's actually showing me a really cool graph of basically who connect the dots for me and how far does it go, who ends up liking it, and how I could try to reach further with my posts. So that's the kind of insight that I think all the social networks are trying to drive people to. You can see that change in Twitter's API, and Facebook seems to be doing that with that graph search business. But LinkedIn really did it first in a way that empowers an individual to kind of self-correct with a little bit of analytical feedback loop. I'm curious, do either of you pay attention to that at all? I'd bet $5 John doesn't care.
I totally self-stalk. You could guess which way that was going to go.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So
I love using the things that are unintended in some of these tools. And again, if we go back to individual versus company, I am surprised that LinkedIn provides the ability to engage. To your point, John, you know, we've talked a little bit about that program you've got. I know you guys have done some successful marketing. I've talked to some other people in the industry. You know, there are many different agencies sort of promoting these different ways to engage with LinkedIn. And it's inexpensive compared to the other types of marketing you would do to have that kind of reach if it works. Again, if people don't sort of shut down that access. However, as individuals, I do the paid version, and it provides, you know, it provides the ability to connect with people that might be harder to meet. I can meet them myself instead of having to have someone introduce me. I can do a lot more research. I can go anonymous, and I get a lot of analytics. So I can see sort of who's looking at me and for why, because that also, that's an incredible lot of information. I know what kind of ripples I'm causing in the marketplace when certain, you know, frankly, if recruiters start looking, if this happens, I know there's been a resume generating event, to quote Aaron Delp. You know, if I start to see recruiters, or, you know, other people in the IT industry have said they can see trending based on what happens on the LinkedIn. So just as a personal tool, you can learn quite a lot. You can, there's a lot of inferences to be made.
That's pretty cool.
Well, let's talk about groups for a little bit, maybe, or is this the right time?
I think it's a great time. Again, when it first came out, I dutifully joined and thought, oh, not a bad idea, right? People are here, a way to meet different people. Never went back. Maybe I can only handle my platforms doing one thing at a time.
No. They're horrible. So the open groups are horrible. The funny thing is, I'm going to tell a story about how you can use them. I'm the one that dislikes, I think it's not a useful tool, LinkedIn. Somehow I'm emotionally invested in that view, although I might have to change my mind. But I have the most stories about people using it successfully too. So there. Ha. Open groups in LinkedIn universally, and I've surveyed people many times on Twitter and in personal conversations, in my own experience, the open groups are terrible. They're like a bad networking event at a Ramada Inn, you know, where you've got some generic sodas and people are exchanging business cards. They're just terrible. Nobody finds value in them.
But what about some
closed groups could be interesting.
Closed groups, yeah.
So some of the CIO, like the CIO only groups or the alumni groups or the groups that are closed, where people actually have a little bit of privacy and some cases have a demographic affiliation. So there's a little bit of a tribal formation thing happening. From what I've heard and from what I've experienced, some of those can be useful because it's just like a Facebook group or a Google group or an old mailing list, right? It's actually functional, right? It's not just a networking schmooze fest. It's an actual functional group of people, and they share stuff with each other. Oh, here's a job. Oh, you know, so-and-so passed on. Here's his information or whatever.
Well, that's so interesting because I wouldn't know whether I was going to make a private group on LinkedIn first or on Facebook or on Google+ or just make a list on Twitter, depending on the topic. We really do have a lot of ways of slaying it, and I think it really – I don't know. What do you think of the premise that it's just personal preference, like that somebody's allowed to just be – have one as their core quote-unquote social network, if you'll give me that, and then the other ones end up being peripheral?
I think you do choose a platform, and I think some platforms handle it better than others, and there is sort of a social agreement of how deeply you engage. One of the things that – I've heard there's sort of urban legends, right, of these occasional successful groups on LinkedIn that people swear by. I think there, again, there's this safety. There's this weird sense of safety, and marketers like to be safe. And they say, you know, C-level people seem to like LinkedIn. It's going to be safe. They don't. This is where I get frustrated, and I'm going to bash our industry pretty hard. We are still counting, simple counting instead of measuring engagement. So they pay their money or do their thing and execute, and then never look back again to see if it moved the needle at all, if it did anything, if anybody engaged, because LinkedIn is. It is the Gartner white paper of social media. It is the safest marketing move you can make. And, you know, to make my reference, I love that phrase of no one ever got fired for, as we said, buying IBM. Nobody ever got fired for investing in a Gartner white paper. It's considered a safe marketing tactic.
Yeah, no one's going to get fired for spending a big chunk of the budget on getting more fans on LinkedIn.
Yeah, no, even if they not a big chunk maybe, but it passes the C-level test. And anyway, so
we have had some good ROI on paid social, paid ads on LinkedIn.
That I can see because people are there stalking themselves or looking for jobs, or that makes sense to me for some of the things people go there for naturally. What I'm watching, with great interest in the technologist space where I'm pretty focused instead of maybe the up the chain folks is I am watching Google Plus increase. And maybe it's that we've all gotten used to it or that by default we all just have Gmail accounts and Google has pushed and pushed and pushed. Yeah, so at least it sort of comes through in your alerts. You know what I mean? You eventually just give in. And some people actively like it and do more with it. But I think you eventually just give up because it is easy to start a group there. It is easy to plus one something or reply or retweet. It seems kind of familiar. I don't know that I'm having wild engagement with it, but I see more and more people using it effectively. And as the group masses there, I think that's for me and my industry and sort of the buying center that I face, that's where they'll go. I think the C-levels will still say, I think it's more quality to go to LinkedIn. Let's spend money there.
Yeah,
I think it's safety.
Although if all we're doing right now, see, this is disturbing me because I was all prepared this evening to just hate on LinkedIn for an hour. But you guys kind of, you and Rick have kind of convinced me that treating it as a broadcast mechanism isn't necessarily a bad idea right now. It might be kind of useful, especially if it's just another tick mark in Hootsuite. Google Plus, the same way, I'm seeing much more engagement over there too, but I guess that's effective. Let me tell you one more story about being effective on LinkedIn. A colleague of mine decided that she wanted to become an expert and get a new gig. And so she used LinkedIn, used these, what I just described as these horrible Ramada Inn networking, you know, bad carpet rooms of the open groups, to go in and post information and to answer questions about cloud computing. And she went in and worked the room. She posted stuff, she answered stuff, and she worked diligently at it until when you search for cloud computing, you know, her name came up. And that got her new gig. So that is an example of actually going out. And I'm sure she's a quality person. You know, I cringe at some of the stuff, the self-promotional stuff that goes on in some of these groups on LinkedIn, which makes them not so useful. But people do wander into them and ask legitimate questions because they have nowhere else to ask it. So if you actually go there and provide a valuable answer and take your time and attention and professional diligence to this arena of people wandering around bumping into each other, you actually can do some good. So there's another example from a personal standpoint. I gave you nothing to work with, though. Sorry.
Well, what do you think, Matt? You seem to be like a little bit in between the two of us. What are you saying?
I really
what have you
am.
Done? What's your engagement?
Oh, I'm so torn on LinkedIn because I honestly really do use it like my little social check-in because I know. Okay, here's what I know.
What do you
sure.
mean by social check-in?
Okay, keeping tabs on people in a non-creepy way. It doesn't take quite as much social ninjing to find.
There's the safety thing again. LinkedIn is totally creepy, but somehow it has this gloss like nothing bad ever happened.
Yeah, like everyone's okay with it. And what's interesting, I mean, there are different communities that I'm connected with that are on Twitter, that are on Facebook, and are sometimes not on other social networks that all collapse into LinkedIn. So it is my single pane of glass, where whether I like it or not. Hmm. And then what's really interesting to me, I don't know, when I'm bored, I'll go into the people you might know feed, the infinite loop of people you might know based off your network, and it just scrolls on forever. And I'll be like, I wonder who else I know. And I'll just go through there and start seeing people's titles and associating their names with their faces. And as somebody who I really try to respect that, knowing somebody's name and what they do when you meet them in person is impressive, if not a huge sign of respect. I just take my free time occasionally and scroll through right. and see what people are doing, what their titles are. And so when I see them, I can say, hey, it's nice to meet you in person. What are you up to? And say their name.
That's awesome. But in the context of this podcast, would you ever use it for programmatic work?
Help me scale that down to something I can slice and dice.
Are you going to have an EMC elect LinkedIn group?
Oh, hell no.
But are you going to ask that everybody
because,
endorse?
And I'll tell you why. So the reason I wouldn't do an EMC elect LinkedIn group, I don't need another place to manage something, and it doesn't give me another X factor. the reason I do curate an EMC Elect Google Plus private group is because it makes it really easy to send out a Google Plus Hangout invite, and everyone around the world can jump onto a video chat in an instant. And that is why I use Google Plus.
Did you use LinkedIn to investigate people who wanted to join EMC Elect?
100%. Every single person that's applied to a job that I'm one of the interviewers on or has applied to EMC Elect or is somebody I even interact with professionally, if I see their name in my email, one of the first things I do is just search their name on LinkedIn.
Well, what about if you wanted to advertise or draw people to the community? Would you consider using LinkedIn as a platform to broadcast that out?
I say, why not? I don't expect a lot from it, but I'd always use platforms where I know I have people that I interact with. Sure.
And would you want EMC Elect announcements or links to be shared from the EMC channel on LinkedIn?
I have found that that's more powerful. So I did that this week. So I'm working on a project related to the community, and I shared it personally on LinkedIn. I got 3 likes and about 150 click-throughs, which is pretty damn cool. But we shared it through the corporate account. There's 50 likes on it and a few hundred going towards 1,000 click-throughs to that community conversation. So there is something about a big brand that just will gain a few more eyes, even if you do have a strong
people must be going there. Then the LinkedIn strategy of having news and updates must be working if people are seeing the updates to click through.
Yeah, it's definitely an anecdote, but it's showing, and they make a lot of money. I don't know if the three of you have ever like sat down and done like, all right, so if I'm going to increase my fan acquisition on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter, what's going to cost the most? And I don't know the quotes off the top of my head, but I can tell you that LinkedIn is an order of magnitude more expensive than the other two.
It is for that route, but the distribution route, which somehow they want to push more, they are overwhelmingly cheaper than they should be for you to be able to do targeted database. It's essentially targeted database marketing that people have agreed to. It's way less expensive than going through a random list pull where somebody's just got a list or doing a DG thing.
Do they have native stream ads yet, or is it all just display ads?
Oh, like integrated into your normal.
Yeah, activity. Can I push something out into the stream yet?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, crap. So Matt, Amy, help me with this, because I'm struggling because I've people keep coming to me.
Well, good news, John.
People keep coming to me and with unrealistic expectations, but I'm starting to kind of get the vibe of the place now. I don't know. Well, how should I be approaching this?
Well, I'm helping you out. So one of the features that has been much maligned is the endorsement feature, which is totally out of hand.
Come on.
So while we were talking, I just endorsed you, John, for LinkedIn.
That's great, because while we were on, I endorsed you, Amy, for bacon.
I endorsed you for cat herding. So yes. I think, you know, when we talk about something gone wrong, and this I think was their attempt to be a wolf in social sheep's clothing, is they added this endorsement feature. And as you can see, if anybody hasn't tried that out, it is, I don't know that you actually, I believe in the wisdom of crowds. And so some things do bubble up. And I've let a lot of it alone. So I get endorsed for social media with some regularity, because I'm sure we've all been there and it's been pushed out and you're supposed to endorse people. And you can, it's like when Google image tagging first came out, you can spend mindless hours sort of clicking on these, you know, yes, endorse so-and-so for such and such. And I don't know how authentic it is. It gets ridiculous. However, I will argue that you can see somebody's level of engagement. It does tell you something. How often are they there? Is this a throwaway? Do they ever come back? Do they curate? And frankly, you can get a little bit of personality out of it too. So in terms of a research tool, it can be kind of helpful. I'm endorsed for some silly things on there. And the way I look at it is any recruiter or anybody who's coming to research me would be able to see that I must have a sense of humor or I'm questionable. But one way or the other, that's probably important for them in the job search.
Wow. I just got to say, I think the endorsements are dumb. Just the dumbest thing I can think of. Just the way they've implemented them is stupid. The recommendations are actually wonderful, and I wish people, if you like me, go ahead and write me a damn recommendation in English with sentences, and I'd be happy to put it up on my wall, and I'd appreciate that. The endorsements are just dumb.
Same. Yeah.
It's a thumbs up. It's a like. It's the lowest possible lift, and it keeps people from having to use whole sentences.
Hmm.
So, it's sheep's clothing. It is the equivalent of a like, a thumbs up, a retweet, a star. It is the lightest engagement. And I think, honestly, dilutes those endorsements because the number of recommendations I've gotten or given since the endorsements came out have dropped. And I think I'd be curious if you guys are in that same boat. So I think that's a useful tool, and it went down because they were trying to be social.
Did you guys see the endorsement bombing Tumblr?
No.
We'll share that in the blog. Yeah. It's a blog dedicated to bombing people's endorsements with stupid things. because it is silly. You could put anything in there, you know.
Yeah. Well, what about normal people, guys? Because you have the three of us on the line. Yeah. If somebody ever wanted to recruit us, I cannot think of three folks that would be more transparent on the internet. And we've done that quite intentionally. Not everyone that listens could be on all these platforms all the time like we are. So what do you think of LinkedIn? What does LinkedIn do for, say, the average technologist that is at least quasi to a little bit social?
I think especially I do those reviews. And what is helpful is, you know, it is helpful for me to see, are their peers endorsing them around particular technologies? And it's imperfect. And again, I cannot advocate for the endorsements. But I like being able to see the technologies they've worked on, the companies they've worked on, sort of their trajectory, because it gives me a sense of where they live, what their biases are, et cetera. So, you know, and some level of engagement with their peers. So as a whole, taken with a great grain of salt, but I think the endorsements give something. But it's one of those, yes, the recommendations are far better. The endorsements give you some flavor, but you have to – it's interpretive. It's not direct. It's not what they intended it to be.
I tell you, actually, another thing that LinkedIn is possibly an inadvertent consequence of their design. So on Twitter, we have all talked about how we struggle with corporate accounts, and there's too many accounts, and customers and prospects and our community can't really figure out. There's too many channels. You know, you have 300 accounts spread out over all these different platforms. What am I supposed to follow? You know, how am I supposed to follow a Twitter account for every product that I buy from Cisco and EMC? Or, you know, it's just very confusing, and there's just too many voices in some cases. It's confusing. On LinkedIn, as far as I know, it's people and companies, right? So you can follow VMware, or you can follow John Troyer, but there's no vCloud suite or anything like that. And so that's actually a nice forcing function. It just so happens that at VMware we fill this valuable channel with job openings that are not relevant to you, but we could be filling it with valuable information.
Yeah, it's a good point. It prevents social proliferation and I handle creep, if you will, where people be like, well, my product's extra special and I only want to talk to the contingent about my product in Germany. So I'm naturally going to make an EMC underscore my product underscore Germany. That just makes sense. And LinkedIn really did a good job at stifling that through a little bit more of a walled garden approach to social.
I would agree with that. And that's a podcast for another day of how I'm on the warpath to eliminate ridiculous Twitter handles, excessive Twitter handles. But I will agree with that. It gives you, it's good for, I mean, again, personal research. You can learn more about a company that way in some organized fashion for how they've tended their LinkedIn presence, et cetera. For me as a marketer, I'm still mixed. I do think for me as an individual marketer, I get a lot of great research potential. I use it all the time for that. I use it as a personal account to broadcast. I don't use it as a community platform. So it's for me, it's a real mixed bag. I'm still coming down on the side of it's not social or it's not a successful social platform. because I think that has to be two-way conversation, not one way. And I think it's successful at one way. But I do think it's a hidden, untapped resource for the kinds of targeted marketing you can do through their database. So I would encourage people to check that potential out.
And I would come at it from the approach that I stuck up for before, that it's social in the sense that it helps flatten the playing field for everybody, whether you're multi-billion dollars or a person of one. And because of that, its power should not be overlooked, especially even in an SMB or startup environment.
Well, and how about you, John? Did we convince you that LinkedIn's okay, or did you just unfollow both of us on there?
Yeah. Okay. Well, my takeaway will be different than what I thought it was going to be an hour ago. I think LinkedIn is an important platform. I mean, that's clear. I would definitely put it in a secondary tier, like Google Plus. I think it's emerging. It's something I'm going to watch. I think that people and marketers should not be fooled that it is the be-all and end-all. It's not the Facebook for business. The fact that a CIO has his resume on there does not mean that that person comes and will see updates from your account. It's a platform to watch.
I think that's well done. I think the other sort of concluding remark from that for me is that it's another – this platform, it's interesting to me that it continues to be seen as the safe platform. I would love to hear some viewer feedback if that's the impression they've been getting as well, the feedback they've been getting. And that, like every other platform, it takes work. But this idea that social is free and easy, and is this, it's a distributed thing, it takes sweat equity. And so engagement and true engagement with the people on LinkedIn takes time. It isn't something, like you said, where you can just blast every CIO and they miraculously show up to your webinar. It doesn't work that way. Mm. All right. So, ironically, the Geek Whisperers have kind of a presence on our individual sites on LinkedIn. So I'm sure we'll push this podcast out through it. We've got all our other social channels listed, but I think we're going to sign off before we do any more damage and cause any resume generation for ourselves. So we hopefully will all have jobs and updated profiles, and we look forward to your endorsement bombing.
And recommendations, for real.
And recommendations. I will recommend you back. You know, if you write me a recommendation with whole sentences, I will recommend you back with whole sentences. Game on.
Is it like follow me, follow back?
It is a recommend back.
Sounds like a deal. Sounds like a good deal. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Geek Whisperers podcast, where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT. You can listen to all the episodes at our website, geek-whisperers.com, or check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. Your hosts were John Mark Troyer, Amy Lewis, and Matthew Brender, better known on Twitter as J. Troyer, Comms Ninja, and MJ Brender. See you next week.
Grumpy Cat, party of one.